Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Up the Poshcast. We are in what feels a very unfamiliar position where we are recovering a 5-0 victory over AFC Wimbledon. Posh were incredible today, and this is the most positive episode we've had probably for 12 months, maybe since Wembley. Just a really, really good performance from start to finish. We talked through all the positives. There is a lot of praise for Luke Williams, understandably. We then move on and preview Crawley away in the Virtue Trophy. Lodz is so delirious from the win that he's calling for Ryan de Havilland and Nicholas Bilakapic to start, which is interesting. I was joined for this one by Ashley, Lodz and Max, and myself, John. It was sponsored by Prime Vehicle Sales. They are based in Sawtrey. And if you're looking for used cars or used vans, there is no better place to go than Prime Vehicle Sales. We are telling you that. With that said, all that's left to do is say sit back, relax, and enjoy this very happy episode of Up the Poshcast. Ashley, did we just win 5-0 or was that all a fever dream?
Well, let's keep it simple. Peterborough United may very well be back here. Oh, what a delight. Like, we've literally been itching to get this done, haven't we? Like, finally, the lads have shown on the pitch that they are footballers, that they can play good football, that they can excite the fans. And what a way to do it. Phil's obviously put the tweet out. We discussed it at the game. That is now 3 remembrance games in a row where we have absolutely spanked our opposition. 5-0 against Cambridge, 6-1 against Cambridge, 5-0 against Wimbledon. Everybody's saying that we didn't stand a chance. Well, we've proved you wrong. We predicted goals. The Up the Poshcast ratings and score predictions in the Next Level Barbell Club Predictions League predicted goals. And here we are. Peter United are back. I love Luke Williams. We are going to cook for the rest of the season. I'm so, so confident of it.
That was so good. It was so much fun to watch. It is the best performance for a year. And we talk about like the wins that we picked up under Fergie. And every single time I came away from that feeling like that was unsustainable. We can't win like that every week because eventually it will catch up with us. You know, you go back to Plymouth, you go back to a few of the others, where Burton is a prime example, where it just felt like we were scrapping to a victory. Today was everything that I wanted to see from Posh and Moore. We heard Fergie come away from matches and say, well, that didn't look like one of my sides. Well, that today looked like a prime Darren Ferguson side. It was just ripping AFC Wimbledon to shreds every time it went forward. There was so much to be enthused about, which we're going to get into, I'm sure, in more depth on this. But in every department, it was better. Like, we looked better organised off the ball. We were so much faster tempo on it. And it was just fun to watch. I just enjoyed watching my football team play a game of football. And how many times have we come on here and said, I just want to have fun watching Peterborough again? Saturday, 3 p.m. is used to be the best time of the week. And it hasn't been for so long. And the scenes at the end with the whole stadium bouncing away, and it was just great. Like, I'm so infused and excited. And I just want to doff my cap to Luke Williams, because to do that, what he did in 2 weeks, is an incredible managerial feat. And I know we don't want to get carried away, because teams will start learning his system and they'll definitely find know more about him and put more obstacles in the way. And there's going to be bumps in the road. But what a start. You literally could not have asked for any more. Just amazing. Just a great day. And I'm so excited to see where we can get to this season now.
Yeah, I think the best part about this all is this isn't even like this team at its best. You look at Luke Williams' teams previously and it's possession dominant. AFC Wimbledon had more of the ball than us today, despite winning 5-0. So there's still more to come from this. So that's the biggest thing for me, is that this isn't even, you know, beating Wimbledon 5-0 might not even be the peak in terms of where this team can get to. And that's something that I'm really excited by. But overall, it was such a fantastic day, wasn't it? And you know, we were talking on Countdown to Kickoff about, you know, bringing the crowds back and you know, whether that was bogus or not. But the crowd today was fantastic. And that's something that I'm really looking forward to seeing more of, is the crowds being at that sort of a level, bouncing, excited, watching the game, getting up for it. I thought the GH, I was in the GH today, and I thought the GH was outstanding. I really did. It was really loud all game. And that's what it should be in there, you know. And that's what I feel like sometimes it's been lacking. And today, the players on the pitch gave us no excuse to not sing. You know, it felt like constant singing. I thought there was times where the chants were a bit silly, but other than that, I thought it was fantastic, and it was such a good day out. And I, you know, I was talking to my friend on the way home, saying, when was the last time I watched 90 minutes of football and enjoyed it that much? And I really couldn't recall. I think the 6-1 against Cambridge is probably the last time I can remember watching 90 minutes of football and enjoying it to that degree. And, you know, all I have to say is to Luke Williams is, as echo what John said, really, in the fact that that is such an achievement to play two games, score 6 goals and concede 0. Gets, you know, and Wimbledon are no easy side to beat. You know, they're 5th in the league. We beat Cardiff, who have been top for the vast majority of this season, top of the league, and they in a full strength side, and we're 3 in the Carabao Cup, in the FA Cup, sorry. So it's just good times at the club right now, and I feel like we needed this so much, and I'm so happy that it's happened today.
Yeah, bloody hell. What a game, what a result. Echo everything that you guys have all said. I'm actually quite surprised, Max, your stat there about the possession. I've just had to double check it, and you're right. Yeah, Wimbledon had more possession than us, which, I mean, it didn't not feel like it during the game, but I'm just surprised that we managed to be so dominant given that we had less possession than them. And I think that's when they lined up at the beginning of the game, it's just physically, like, Wimbledon looks so much bigger and taller than us. And I don't really look at the league table, but I think someone said that they were 4th going into this. And I just thought, we're going to get bullied all game. They're going to dominate set pieces. They're going to play the long ball. We're going to struggle to get the ball away. But for whatever reason, it didn't work. And I can't believe that this Wimbledon side are 4th in the league. They looked atrocious. I know we played well, and I know Luke Williams we have to give a lot of credit to. I struggled to find one or two players that were standouts today. I think they were all really, really good. And I've said before, when all the players are good, you have to praise the manager for just getting it spot on, which is the case today. But I also agree with you, Max. I think we weren't at our best. And if we play like that, not at our best, and we can still win 5-0, then we've got a lot of positive things to look forward to. And we have to remember as well, as Luke Williams has come in, he's had basically less than 2 weeks to work with the squad. He's had to pick out 18 players to put in the squad today, and he hasn't even seen all of them play, has he? Like, Declan Frith has only just come back from injury and he's managed to get on the pitch, and he's got players he hasn't seen play yet. And it must be tough for him to try and find the right players to put out. And like I said, to put out that squad and win 5-0, we must have a lot of things to look forward to. And it begs the question, doesn't it? Why didn't we sack Ferguson sooner if this man was available to us and can produce results like this quickly?
Well, yeah, you do wonder what on earth was Darren Ferguson doing on the training ground? Like, why was he not getting that tune out of this team? And we played a 4-3-3 today, for all intents and purposes. Garber and Woods were relatively similar. And yet, when we played that formation with Ferguson, Leonard looked so isolated and just completely on his own up front, basically. And yet today we had fullbacks bombing on, and Harley Mills was brilliant. Chiosa was really good down one side. The wingers were good. We had men around Leonard when he was picking the ball up. And I was watching it and I thought, when's the last time I saw a Peterborough United player bearing down on goal? Because I can barely remember it this season. I can barely remember a forward running beyond a defender and running at goal. And yet in the first half, I saw it multiple times because we were playing through balls and ambitious passes. And it wasn't possession for possession's sake. I looked at the pass accuracy and it was actually down on a lot of Fergie's time. And the reason for that was because we were taking more risks in possession. There were some things that I just loved to see. The ambition was one of them. The tempo was another. The fact that the ball would go out and we were... How bad were we at throw-ins? under Darren Ferguson. It's the minor little things, but we were terrible at throw-ins under Fergie because someone would stand statically, try and give it back to the throw, and we'd often give it away. Now, we don't give a team the chance to reset. The players are literally sprinting to get the ball back, get it back in play before they can reset. And it's great. I love that. I love the fact that Ben Woods, there was a slight tactical shift. You saw him against Cardiff, almost the third man pressing behind the two strikers because Cardiff would build up from the back. So we tried to stop their build-up. Ben Woods wasn't that advanced in the press today because Williams clearly knew that AFC Wimbledon would go long. So there's no point putting another midfielder. He dropped deeper to pick up the scraps for the second ball. And those tiny tactical tweaks, again, I never really saw them in individual roles from Fergie. You knew how Fergie was going to set his side up generally and each individual role. And yet that shows a manager that's thinking about the opposition as well as himself. And I just thought that was great to see. So yeah, again, I just I'm so impressed by what I've seen from Luke Williams so far. And he deserves all the credit. The players deserve a lot of credit too, of course. But genuinely, this system and the way he's got it working within a couple of weeks on the training ground, it's really exciting. I think it's really good.
Yeah, I think you're right, John. And hindsight is a wonderful thing. And I also don't think we should talk on Fergie too much because that is now an era in the past, isn't it? But I think back to D-Mac's comments of him asking Fergie whether he's got this. Well, of course he's going to say yes. He's never going to admit. No man or manager is going to say, no, I haven't actually. You should probably sack me or I'll leave. But the standout comment, now that I think back to it, like I say, hindsight is a wonderful thing, was the, I've got nothing to prove at this football club and in this league. But that's essentially, to me, as somebody that's given up, what were these players doing in training? What were they doing Monday to Friday? Because there's clearly a good bunch of players here. Luke Williams got them playing the way that he wants them to within 7 training sessions. That's probably generous. And it looks like we're already there. It's fresh. It's exciting. I think that the confidence that Luke Williams has instilled in these players, you listen to his post-match interview today, he is happy for Harry Leonard to miss the target. He's happy for Gustav to miss the target. If your manager is giving you that confidence that what it's about is being in the right place at the right time, if you miss, you'll get another chance. Same with the midfielders. Are you making the dangerous through balls, the ones that are the eye of a needle type stuff, but when they come off, they look fantastic and then we score goals. Same with the defenders. Are you willing to battle for the shirt? Because that's what we said multiple times this year, isn't it? Is that sometimes the players look like they didn't care about playing for Peterborough United. Today, looked like those players really cared about being a Peterborough United player and looked like they wanted this team to succeed. And we've said it time and time again, that is all that we can ask. We will lose games going forwards. I've got no doubt about it. But if they put in that effort every single time that they step out onto the pitch, they're always going to have the fans on side. And how great was it that there was 8,500 posh fans in that ground today enjoying themselves, because it felt like a party that we've needed since probably Cambridge last year. And we finally had that outpouring of relief that it's going to be exciting again. Thank goodness for Luke Williams.
Yeah, I just want to highlight as well, like it's felt at times like the season's already over, and it's felt, you know, it's really easy to find yourself falling into a really negative hole. And I was really looking at the league table today and thought, there's only 12 points between us and the playoffs. The league is so tight from the bottom of the league all the way to the top end. And that's something that, looking at, you know, this season is so far from over. And if we're going to kick on now and we're going to start grinding out results, who knows how high we could rise. And again, you know, John said, let's not get carried away. But I am chief of getting carried away. I'm chief of getting a, you know, seeing something happen and making a reaction from it. And our home, you know, London Road is going to be so important to us this season. It's felt lifeless recently. And I think a lot of that's been the football played. Today, again, we proved that we can be such a fan base full of life and full of encouragement. And the ball will just go into the back of the net. Like Luke Williams has built this system, as Ashley was saying, that is built around taking your chances, getting shots off, trying to score goals. And it's felt like that hasn't been the way of recent. That identity that we talk about when you think of a Peterborough United team, that identity you talk about feels like it's been lost for so long. You know, we want quick football, exciting football. We want to score more goals than you do. It doesn't matter if we score five and you score four. That's the Peterborough United you think of. And we haven't had that of recent. And Luke Williams bringing that identity back with this system. And defensively, you know, we've been solid. And we've still got Sam Hughes to come back. Like, we've still got our club captain to return from injury. This defence is going to get even better. And that's the big thing for me, is that we're going to, you know, I'm not saying that playoffs is achievable. The start of the season was too poor. But I think staying up is really plausible. In fact, I'd go as far as to say I'd be very surprised if we were to get relegated if we continue playing this way.
Oh, yeah, we're not getting relegated. Like, I've said that from the start. I said it last season. I've said it all through this season. We've got no chance of getting relegated. Just even more so now that Darren Ferguson has gone. I think it is hindsight, but I think Darren Ferguson was the problem and the players weren't playing for him. And Ashley and I were quite fortunate. We were in the sponsors lounge before the game today. And we got to see Luke Williams up close, answer a few questions. And he just comes across as a really football intelligent guy. He's a very deep thinker. He has very modern ideas. And he was asked about the expectations, and he obviously dealt with it quite politically. He said the first task of his is to get out of the relegation zone. But he didn't put any other expectations on him for this season. He just said, the last game of this season, I want every fan to go home and want more, which is such a good answer, isn't it? Because it doesn't matter then. It doesn't matter if we finish one place above the relegation zone or seventh. We want to get up on that journey and carry on doing what we're doing, basically. And I just think that little comments like that he made, and we're talking about squad selection, and he spoke about Brandon Keller. Ashley asked him about Brandon Keller. That's a big choice to leave him out of the squad today. And he said that he had a conversation with Brandon during the week and he dealt with it very maturely. I can't imagine Darren Ferguson doing that. Obviously, we're not part of the dressing room. I don't know what his methods were for making squads, but I can imagine if he's anything like his dad, he would just put the squad out the day before the game or even the morning of the game and say, that's the squad, deal with it. And if you're unhappy, you'll have to see me next week. So if he has pre-warned Brandon Keller that he's not going to be in the squad, which is basically what he's alluded to, then I think that's the sort of thing that the players really like and get on board with and respect their manager when they're just honest with them and have an honest conversation and tell them exactly what it is that they need to do to make sure they stay in the squad.
Before I start, we're going to talk about players, but before I start, I just want to say, if you want to get carried away, get carried away. I've put 20 quid on Posh to finish in the top six. Max, you're misrepresenting me there. We've been down in the dumps for too long. After watching that, go get yourself carried away. Get on Posh to win the league. I don't care anymore. You've got to enjoy moments like this. It feels exciting again. I'm not going to kill anyone's excitement. I could start on any number of players today because I could wax lyrical about multiple of them. I'm going to start on Harry Leonard. I've always liked Harry Leonard. I think he brings a lot of quality. I think his link-up play is really good. I'm so pleased he started scoring goals. I am so pleased that he started scoring goals. I really don't think it was his fault. He was so isolated at times and he never really got any service. Now we're watching a team that provide him with chances. His movement's good. The first goal was really well taken, I thought. It was a great team move. That goal was... I texted in our group chat just like, what a goal. I couldn't believe what I was watching. The way that Odo dropped in, Chioso ran beyond him. It looked really well structured. A repeatable goal. That's what you want to see, right? And just a poacher's finish in at the far stick. And then I was so pleased he scored the pen. Because if he had missed that, you know his confidence is taking another knock and another step down. But stepped up, smashed it. And I think he could be a real good goal scorer for us. You know, I really do think he looks like a really, really promising striker. Maybe in a different mold to some of our other ones. I don't know if he's got like that elite pace or of a Craig McHale Smith, let's say, or elite finishing of a Dwight Gale, or just elite all-rounder of Tony, but he looks good at everything. He's technically good. He's good in the air. He's strong. He works hard. He looks a decent finisher. His movement's good. There's not really any weakness with his game. And I do think he could be a really, really good signing for us. So I'm so pleased that he's off the mark. I just hope he can keep this up. Like, Williams looks like a great manager for him now, doesn't he? And that £1 million investment might be worth a hell of a lot more if he keeps this up.
Yeah, I think all throughout his time so far, we all said, didn't we, that we know he's going to come good at some point. And it just didn't look like it was going to happen under Darren Ferguson. And I think it was the one thing I was most excited about when Luke Williams was announced, seeing what he did for Langstaff at Notts County. I had it in my head that Harry Leonard is just going to go on this goal scoring rampage and go and get 30 goals. And what's that, 3 goals in 2 games in Luke Williams' first 2 games? And it is because of the service. Like, some of the balls going into the box were just remarkable, really. The pace of them and Leonard being in the right place. And he does do all the dog work as well, doesn't he? And that penalty, John, I remember the debate we had after the Plymouth game about the work he was putting in, whether he gets away with not scoring, because of the hold-up play and all of the other off-the-ball stuff. And I remember talking about the penalty as well, and I think I called him a novelty penalty taker. Well, after that penalty today, he's 100% not a novelty penalty taker. He's absolutely smashed that in, hasn't he? If that's his penalty technique, we could have a really good penalty taker. We've had Ivan Toney in the past. We've had Johnson Clark-Harris. If he can smash him into the corner like that, I'm very excited. And Luke Williams' sides in the past have had a lot of penalties as well. So that might be something that we can look forward to as well.
Yeah, Lods, you obviously mentioned earlier that we were in the sponsors lounge today. And obviously, one of the privileges that you get is the sponsors man of the match comes up into the lounge and presents you with your gifts for the day. Harry Leonard was that man. And you could sort of see the relief that he's now got 2 goals in the league, and that's 3 total, isn't it? And it feels like everything's falling into place, doesn't it? And I talk about relief. You could feel the relief in the stadium when Gustav Lindgren scored, A, his first goal, and then B, the second one as well, because we've seen him go through on goal like that before and fluff his lines. And we've watched people like Ricky J. Jones go through on goal and fluff their lines with that. Both of those goals today for Gustav Lindgren were proper striker's finishes. The first touch finish is quality. And then to have set himself, we've heard time and time again from the powers that be at Peterborough United that this man makes the runs, he just needs the service. Well, we've finally seen that service. We've had 2 fantastic balls, kind of, if that makes sense. 1 good ball, 1 terrible bit of defending from whoever that ropey guy was at the back for AFC Wimbledon. But he's there, right place, right time. And that's what all good strikers do. We can praise Harry Leonard for being at the back post when Kyoso crosses the ball in, but Gustav's done it as well today. So Gustav played probably more of the game. There's every chance that he would have been with a sniff of getting man of the match from us. I think that obviously Ben Woods has got it overall, hasn't he? But it was a great performance from Gustav Lindgren. And I, for one, I called it. I have said it before. I said, I think we need to give him another chance. He's had that chance and he's put the ball in the back of the net twice. What a relief. Love it.
Yeah, I want to take a different approach with Gustav. Obviously, we just spoke there about him scoring goals. But I think the biggest thing for me is his attitude. You know, we spent a lot of money on Gustav and he's had such a torrid stint at Peterborough, really. We signed him in January and then he never really got going. And then he scored a goal and we thought he'd arrived. And then he's just struggled ever since. And a new manager's come in, it's a fresh start, and he wants to prove himself. And he's gone on the pitch today and he's got himself 2 off the bench, which I think is really good. I think that's mega of him to sort of have that mental resilience to come on. He could have easily have given up, but instead he's come on and he's scored 2 goals. And Jimmy J. Morgan as well, you know, when we talk about having efficiency within the front 3, Jimmy J. Morgan really harasses the opposition, the back line, and it makes it really hard for them, Wimbledon, to play out. And he came on and the assist he got was because he started and harassed the back line. He won the ball, he drove to the end, drove to the final third, and then he put a ball on a plate for Gustav to tap it in, didn't he? And that's what I want to see from Jimmy J. Morgan, is for him to continue to harass and to continue to provide assists like that. but also for whether it's Gustav Lindgren or Harry Leonard to be on the end of those when they come into the box, because as we've said already, the service was fantastic today.
Yeah, you mentioned the subs there, Max, and that's another thing that I want to really praise Luke Williams for today. I mean, he started Jimmy J. Morgan on the bench, which I kind of had a feeling he was going to do that at some point. I think I mentioned last week about him being a super sub just because of his lack of fitness. He'd rather have him as an impact 20 minutes at the end of the game rather than 50 minutes at the start. But he brought on three attackers at the same time, didn't he? I think we were already 3-0 up. So it just goes to show you the relentlessness of him. He doesn't want to give up at 3-0. He doesn't want to put men behind the ball and say, right, back to the wall now. Let's just hold on to this. He wants to just keep going for the full 90 minutes, playing the same way. And that was evident when he brought on the subs. And Gustav and Jimmy J. Morgan both have a lot of energy. We got to see Frith back on the pitch. And yeah, they were doing all the pressing work, all the charging down, all the running into space. And I mean, I mentioned earlier about Harry Leonard finally getting service and getting goals, and you're quite right with Gustav there. He's also on the end of it, and we might see this new, refreshed Gustav Lindgren, who not only makes the runs into space, but also gets found with passes into the space.
Yeah, very well done, Gustav. You're still going to have to score a few more to win me over, but it was a good start today. And the second finish in particular was very good. A couple more players I want to talk about. First was Jacob Mendy, may be the most pointless signing I've ever seen in a Peterborough United shirt, because Harley Mills was spectacular today again. I thought it was really good. Spectacular might be pushing it a little bit, but I thought he was very, very good today. Just technically so proficient in a proper role as well. You can tell what he knows what he's meant to be doing now. He wasn't exposed at all defensively, I didn't think. And I just thought it was a really, really good performance from him that deserves a lot of credit, because he's been messed around a bit this season. I know, obviously, Williams can't take any blame for what happened previously, but he certainly has been messed around by Ferguson, sort of starting the season, completely dumped from the squad, see a new left-back come in, brought back in out of the cold. And he sort of responded to that, and now he's making the position his own. And really, I don't have any concerns about Harley Mills. And I'm not sure I ever did. I mean, even when he was going through his difficult patch, I think we came on here and most of us were sort of the opinion that he should be starting over Mendy. The other one, I don't know if it's easy to miss him, but certainly maybe not praise him so much today. But Alex Bass is just so solid. What a goalkeeper we've found there. I think he's probably the best of the permanent goalkeepers that we've had of the McAntony era. I don't think it's even that controversial to say that already. The free kick at 2-0 where Seddon curled it over the wall, and it wasn't an amazing save. It wasn't like one that you're going to clip up and call save of the season, but it's a save that I don't think Jed Steer makes, for instance. Bilakapic definitely doesn't make it, I don't think. And those are the sort of saves that if Wimbledon score there, the 2-0 is 2-1 and they're back in it, and all of a sudden the nerves are around the stadium, and I don't think it goes on to be 5-0. Instead, Bass makes it look a decent save, tips it over, gets on with it, celebrates a little bit, and we go on and win 5-0. And throughout the game, he was really commanding off his line. Wimbledon are so direct. They put so many balls in the box, and yet did anyone ever feel worried that Bass was going to drop a cross or spill anything or make an error? Not at all. Just gets on with his job, makes really good saves when needed, and just so assured in goal. And fair play. He has been, I think, signing of the summer so far, and potentially even player of the season so far. And if he keeps this up, hopefully with a more attacking team in front of him, just keep doing what you're doing, Alex Bass, because it is very, very good to watch at the minute.
Yeah, there was a save that Alex Bass made in front of the GH with his fingertips where he managed to tip it over the bar. And I looked at it and thought, if he's going to continue to play like this throughout the season, we've signed a great goalkeeper. I was adamant Wimbledon were going to score. And the free kick from the GH, it looks an unreal stop. I know you guys sort of played it down a little bit, but I've given him a 9 today. And I thought he could have easily have been man of the match, just because in front of the GH especially, there was two or three chances that he made really good stops for. And I completely agree, John. I think he's the best goalkeeper that I've seen in my time supporting Peterborough United. And he's only getting better and better. There was a few dodgy kicks, but other than that, you know, he'll get better at that. I've got no, you know, he was unreal with his distribution, not to count. I've got no doubt in my mind that he'll get better at that. So if he can get a little bit better at his kicking and he can continue in the trend that he's going with his shot stopping, we've got an unreal keeper. And that's so good to have, especially with reinforcements with Sam Hughes to come to this back line. We've got a great back line and a great defence in general.
Yeah, do you know what? I think you're right. And I've made comment on how goofy I think that Alex Bass is. Well, he can be goofy all he likes if he's going to be clean sheet hero. Max, you said man of the match. I wouldn't have disagreed with it, but I think that probably would have made him like 3 or 4 man of the matches in a row. Two other people who I thought had stellar games were Tom Lees and Tom O'Connor. What a pairing they are at the back. And one thing for me, that Lees was well up for the battle today. I don't remember him losing a header for pretty much the 90 minutes, which what can you ask when a team's playing long ball and is playing low block? You want your centre-backs to win headers. How many times in the past have we watched the likes of Nevitt not winning headers, Manny Fernandez not win headers, Oscar Wallin not win headers? Tom Lees won everything today. And Tom O'Connor, for me, I will always praise a player that gets booked relatively early on and can see the game out. That shows serious experience and just streetwiseness as well. And that's what you've got with those two. Max, again, you mentioned obviously Sam Hughes to come in. That those three, in terms of just street smarts and experience of playing the game and knowing how to manage themselves through the game so they don't find themselves in awkward positions or give the referee a chance to send them off, is really what I think that we're going to need going back. And I do feel a little bit unfortunate for George Nevitt because he's been great this season, but at the moment I just don't see how he gets back into this team with those two playing like that. I think that Sam Hughes will trump him when he's fit because he's a direct Lees replacement. And then you're looking at George Nevitt becoming a sub, and then he's going to be battling with David Kagbu as a sub. And we saw in inside training how quick Dave is. If you're going to make a sub, dependent on the game, it's going to be a really tough decision for Luke Williams, game by game, to probably be switching those two, dependent on who the team is that we're coming up against. Like George Nevitt probably would have been fine today because it was against a slower sort of build-up team and lots of long balls, so he would have had the chance to reposition himself. But against a pacey front line, I would probably be picking Dave in my squad. So it's a good headache, I would say. Another one that Luke Williams is going to have to sort. But those two today at the back, especially Tom O'Connor for going, 60 minutes on a booking, get incredibly good credit from me because you can't really ask for much more. Clean sheet. How often have we said that this season? It would be nice to keep clean sheets. And now we're under the Luke Williams era. We're 2 from 2.
Yeah, I have to hold my hands up. I've completely changed my opinion on Tom Lees. I thought he was going to struggle under Luke Williams. I thought he might have lacked some of the ball-playing ability. But today, I think even that side of his game was good enough to keep up. And you've mentioned Ashley, his headers away. AFC Wimbledon play long ball. There's no dressing it up. There's no other way to say it. They play long ball. And the reason I think we were able to nullify their style of play so well is because we had Tom O'Connor and Tom Lees at the back. I mentioned earlier about how big and physical AFC Wimbledon looked compared to our team. And it doesn't really matter when your two centre-backs match them. And if they can play out from the back like they have been, I mean, there was a couple of mistakes last week, and I know it wasn't really possession intense this week, but if they can match them physically at the back and outplay them technically in the middle, then we have got a solid game plan right there. And I'm struggling to see how Sam Hughes gets back in, because if Tom Lees is playing this well, I thought it was going to be an easy option for Dara to get rid of. I was under the impression that we got him in short term just while Sam Hughes was injured, and it was very much a Fergie signing. I think when we announced Tom Lees, Dara didn't even tweet about it, did he? Which, it's the first signing we've done in years that Dara's not tweeted about. I thought as soon as Sam Hughes was back, we were going to get rid of him, but I think that'd be a massive mistake. I don't know how much we're paying him, but that experience that he has, that leadership at the back, and he's shown today that he can do both the dirty work and the pretty work in the same game. And I think he's going to be very valuable. Whether he loses his place to Sam Hughes or not, I'd like to keep him around, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel so confident when Sam Hughes comes back, bringing Tom Lees off the bench to save, to protect Sam Hughes early on, or even to give one of the other centre-backs a rest. We have a fantastic centre-half in Tom Lees, in my opinion. I just want to move into midfield, though. I thought the midfield was unplayable today. I've given all three of them 9 out of 10s. It could have been 10 out of 10s. I thought they were all three of them were fantastic. Woods the better, in my opinion. They just ran the game, didn't they? Archie Collins, I thought, did all of the nasty work, the dirty work, picked the ball up in right areas, battled with players that are far more physically imposing than Archie Collins is. I mean, you know, he's got to go up against, what, 6'4" Alistair Smith in midfield to chase the ball off him. He's got to go up against the strikers as well, because that's the role Archie Collins played, and they were big. And he's managed to win the ball. Matt Garbett, the way he turns with the ball, I think is awesome. The way he can skip past players and sell the dummy turn, I think that's great. And I think that's something our midfield's really lacked, is that ability to shape players off and play the right ball. And he's got great range of passing as well. And Ben Woods ran the show, it felt, from attack to defence to doing box to box. Everything you ask for in Ben Woods, he does it all. Every role that you need in midfield, he does it all. And that midfield three should be our midfield three for the rest of the season. And, you know, if we can avoid it, don't change it, because I think it's top. And I think we've got a really good top end League One midfield.
Yeah. Do you know what? I actually want to disagree on Archie Collins and Garbett. I gave Garbett a slightly higher score because of the assist for the Lisby goal, but I actually thought that was one of Archie Collins's poorer games. I think that he was rash in his tackle. I didn't think that he did all of the basics right, but I still felt like he could have done better. And the fact that we're having to talk about Archie Collins, how many times have we said it? A good Archie Collins game, we don't have to talk about him. The fact that we are here talking about him suggests that there was maybe something not right for me. And 100%, we think that, obviously, Lods and I, where we were sat, that he should have been booked at least for one of the tackles. But there was two or three really poor challenges and badly timed. He gave the ball away a few times in the first half as well in front of us. And I just don't think that it was as strong as is being made out currently. But like you say, Max, Ben Woods was fantastic. And that's now two games running, isn't it, that he has been fantastic.
I think that's incredibly harsh on Archie Collins. I think especially in this under Williams, I'm not sure the... He plays well when we don't have to talk about him. Should really be used as a stick to beat him with, because actually I thought he was great today. I thought he was won a lot of second balls. I'm not going to have a go at him for getting stuck in a little bit in against a scrappy team like AFC Wimbledon. I think you need a bit of that against a team like them. There's no point namby-pambying around in the midfield and dangling a foot in. You want your midfielders to be physically imposing, and Collins needs to put himself about a bit because he's not blessed with stature. And on the ball, I thought he was great. Honestly, I'm not sure what you were watching if you didn't think he was good, Ash. I've got to be honest with you on that one. With Garbutt, I actually thought Garbutt was probably the weakest of the three midfielders today. And that's not in a... There were moments, certainly in the first sort of 50 minutes, where Garbutt was picking up so much space. And his first touch is brilliant. And his understanding of the game is very good. You can see that he's a quality player. I actually thought in the second half, he was a little bit rash in possession at times and gave the ball away a few times when it was a fairly basic pass. I remember one where we kind of had a breakaway going and he should have played it down the line, but he tried to come backwards instead for some reason and just gave the ball away. And it was just a little bit sloppy. Not that he played badly. I thought Garbutt was very good again, and he always is. He looks like the best player in the team. However we play, I do think he looks the most skillful, the most technically gifted player in the team, put it that way. But yeah, I thought it was a good performance without being sparkling. I think it's incredible that we've got this far and we've still not talked Ben Woods. Man of the match for me today, Ben Woods. I thought he was, fantastic. I touched on it earlier that he kind of played that advanced pressing role against Cardiff and he was slightly deeper today. And actually, I saw a little bit more of the ball playing Ben Woods today. And I remember Daryl, when he signed, said, oh, teams from higher levels don't sign him because his pass completion ratio is low because Accrington play quite a long ball game. Well, he looked, I remember at Plymouth, he played a first time pass. And I said then he looked technically good. Today was sort of the first performance where that on the ball quality had really shone through, as well as the off the ball quality, because he does look like a scrapper and he was great at winning second balls and knockdowns and doing the dirty work. But he does have that little bit of quality. I'm not ruling Keller out of this midfield just yet, though. I think I would like to see him under Williams. And I know, Max, you said this is the three that we should start all season. Yeah, I think it probably does look like that. But I don't want to rule Brandon Keller out, because I would like to see him in this system, which requires a little bit more dynamism. I think he'll do well under Williams as well. So, I think we've got four good options in there. And I think things are looking pretty bright in the centre of midfield.
Yeah, I really appreciate Ben Woods's relentlessness getting around that pitch. And I'm sure Luke Williams loves that as well. There were times where he was over on the right-hand side harassing their players, and then all of a sudden he was in possession on the left-hand side of the pitch. And I love that in a midfielder, just getting about, being everywhere on the pitch. And another player that I thought was relentless today was Kyrell Lisby. I really, really liked Kyrell Lisby's performance today. And he's got that tenacity, hasn't he? That endeavour to get forward on the ball. He just takes so many gambles on things. Like the goal he got today, if you watch it back, I think their defender tried to clear it, didn't he? And he's basically completely missed it. He's taken an air kick. Kyrell Lisby shouldn't really be able to get on the end of that, because 99% of the time that defender's hoofing the ball away and Lisby's getting nowhere near it. But he's taken the gamble anyway. And so much so that he's actually managed to get his leg stretched and a toe on the ball, which if you were just trusting your reactions from the air kick alone, he wouldn't have been able to get the ball in time. But he'd already made that step. It was like he basically looked into the future and seen the ball already landing at him. And there was a couple of times that happened. You know, unfortunately, he had a really bad miss. I think, did he hit the post, Max? We couldn't really see from where we were. But that was another one. He completely gambled, didn't he? I think it was Odo that had broken through and it looked like he was about to shoot and the defender just got there in time and it sort of trickled forward. And Lisby gambled. He gambled that the ball was going to do that and it put him through on goal. And it's a shame that he couldn't dispatch that one, because I think had he scored that goal, he might have been my man of the match. And I had low expectations of Lisby when we signed him. I thought, you know, we signed him from Braintree. He hadn't played in the Football League. I thought he was going to be very raw, and I thought it might take him a couple of years to get into the swing of things. But he was good last week, and he was good this week, and he's another one that I'm quite excited to see going forward.
Yeah, well, I think that we've covered everyone, haven't we? And it would be rude of us not to talk about AFC Wimbledon. Now, of course, countdown to kickoff, I discussed with Refugee Geezer about that we watched them play in pre-season. And I cast my mind back to that game, and it was a carbon copy of what I saw today. A bunch of allegedly well-drilled footballers, boring football, and ultimately they've been caught out. And that was probably the most surprising thing, is that we were told how good they were defensively and that they were struggling to score. Well, we saw the struggling to score, but we most certainly did not see the good defensively. They were an absolute shambles at the back. Lods, you've obviously mentioned it. That guy air kicking, like, it's not even like he spooned it up in the air. Like, he's literally just missed the ball completely. Thinking back, Romany Critchlow at Portsmouth away, that type of, at least Critchlow in that game got some foot on the ball, even if he shanked it. They're the centre back getting spun around for the second Gustav goal, I think it was, where Morgan's like sort of made contact with him and then all of a sudden he's like breakdancing on the pitch. They just felt all over the place and their passing was poor, erratic. It was all over the place. I would say, and I mentioned during the week that Posh were going to finish above Stevenage. That was maybe a little bit far-fetched with how well Stevenage have gone. I still am confident after today, even more so, that actually we're going to go on a run now. But Posh will finish above AFC Wimbledon. They are seventh in the league now. But after what I've seen today, they must have been playing the teams that were down at the bottom to have got the results that they've got, because there was absolutely nothing positive from that performance. And I think maybe the only credit would be that their fans were non-stop for the 90 minutes. God knows how, because they got played around the pitch, passed off the pitch, like, and just totally dominated. I wouldn't be singing after that for 90 minutes. Well, we know how bad the Posh fan base is, even when we're winning, let alone losing 5-0. That was absolute disaster from AFC Wimbledon. And that I'm looking forward to going back to or going to their ground, the Plough Lane, for the first time. But if they play like that for the rest of the season, I think it'll be a one and done.
Yeah, I think there's a tendency when you batter a team to be like, well, they looked awful. But they genuinely did look awful. They were the worst team I've seen all season. And their only tactic seemed to be to just launch it long. There was no real skill involved. Like, what, you pay your admission to see some decent football, surely. And if you're watching that all the time, I know they've had a couple of good seasons. I know they've started well. And maybe the wins are great to watch. But that's got to be tough. Every Saturday, you've got to be taking your neck braces along to put up with that sort of football. Yeah, it was a pretty tough watch. Anyway, I think we're done on AFC Wimbledon there. Moving on to Tuesday night. And is it a big game? Is it not a big game? It's a big game if we want to do the three-peat. Crawley away. We need a win or a draw and a win on penalties to go through and reach the knockout stages. Lods, talk to me about it. How strong are you going for this game? Are you changing much or are you keeping the same team again?
I would love a full rotation, but I don't think we're going to get one. I think whilst it's probably not an important target, I think Dara has said to him, look, I want to win it for a third year in a row. And I think Luke Williams is going to want to impress Dara, isn't he, straight away? And what a way to impress him, especially after that Leyton Orient game in this tournament earlier on in the season. I'd love a full rotation because the squad is so big. And we spoke about last week about there being a fresh start and a factory reset of the club. And there's a lot of players that we probably want to ship out in January that Luke Williams needs to have a look at. And I would love him to use this fixture as an exercise to check them out, basically. I'd start Bilo in goal. I'd go as far as saying Bilo should start. I think he should see what Bilo can do. Ryan de Havilland, I think, should play. Don O'Brien Brady, I think, should play. Players that we think might struggle to play under Luke Williams, like Dave Okagbwe, I think, should play. And you guys are probably thinking I'm crazy right now, but I couldn't care if we get knocked out, personally. I would rather know what players can play under Luke Williams and what players can't. This is like a 31, 32-man squad. Everyone he's played so far looks really good. So are we just going to try and get rid of these players that Fergie didn't want? But Fergie's not here anymore. These players need their opportunity to show Luke Williams they can also play. And yes, I don't think that Bilo will be capable of playing under Luke Williams. And yes, I think Donny O'Brien, Brady and Ryan de Havilland are a lot below the level, the standard that Luke Williams needs from his midfielders and the ones we currently have. But they still need the opportunity to show him that that's the case. Because if they come in and they play amazingly, then what? He's going to have to try and squeeze them in when there's an injury or something, isn't he?
Lods, I am going Tuesday night. I'm making the effort to go down to Crawley. And if Luke Williams starts with Bilakapic in goal, David Okagbwe centre-half, de Havilland and O'Brien Brady in midfield, I'm booing him. I'm Williams out. There'll be banners in the stand. We can't play them. Please, I'm begging you, don't fall into that trap. I don't particularly care about the Virtue Trophy. I never have. I'm not going to be a hypocrite now. I would like to see a decent amount of rotation, but I think the players that I would like to see play are probably Lindgren. Now he's got a goal under his belt and I'd like to see if he could build on that. I would start Jimmy J again. You're looking through the team and you're probably thinking, does Lolos deserve a game? Maybe. Does Dornelli deserve a game at right back? I think Carl Johnston probably deserves a game at this point. Brandon Keller definitely needs to start. And we're also, let's not forget, we're in a situation now where you can probably rest, you know, Tom Lees or someone like that. But we have got a decent amount of time before our next game, which is Stockport. And given that these guys are young players, they've got a bit of momentum behind them now. I'm not sure rotating the whole team out is actually the smartest thing to do, because then you're going, they're on the top of the world at the minute. And then you kind of take them all away and it's another almost 2 weeks before they play again. I almost feel like you want to keep a core of that team involved just so they can keep that momentum up. And then if we win this one, it's only just over a week until the next time you're playing again. And I think that feel-good vibe's still there. Whereas if if we change the whole team, it doesn't look right. It's all a bit dysfunctional. We lose, let's say. We go out. I know it's not the end of the world, but it just sinks the feeling a little bit. And I do think for that reason, I would probably keep maybe a Collins involved, maybe a Lisby, get him going again. There's no real reason to drop him, I don't think. And then you're looking through the team. I think Harley Mills could probably play again at left back. I'd definitely keep Bass in goal. So, yeah, that's kind of what I would do. I'd keep that core four or five players and then fill in around the edges. But I definitely wouldn't be going down the pecking order to De Havilland again.
Well, I've just had a thought whilst you've been going through that, John. I assume that Dave Akagwe and Matty Garbutt won't be available for this game because we are going into the international break, aren't we? So that does pretty much stump us at centre-back, I would say, because if Nevitt's not fit yet, but we've not heard anything on what his injury is and how long he's going to be gone for, that pretty much means that it's either Mendonca coming in or we play JD at centre-back, or we maybe look and does Luke Williams use this to play a different formation to, like you say, Lodz, is see what he can make of a different formation in that circumstance. I think that, like, we'll say it again, is that we're privileged to get to ask these questions, but he said in the sponsors lounge that what he would like is a really strong first 11 with then subs that complement and can offer some alternatives. So based on that, if we assume that today was probably his strongest 11 from what he had available, maybe there's a chance that we probably only see the one rotation in Brandon Keller coming in for Garbutt. And Tom Lee said it in his interview before the game, let's just go out and blow Crawley out of the water in the first 45 minutes, and then we can then make four subs at half time and rest players. Fergie, what this is probably where Fergie was good, is that Fergie would often take Kiprianu and take Archie Collins to these games and they would play 45 minutes each. That's it. Can we do a similar sort of thing? I think that there is a chance that we do see O'Brien Brady. I think that there's probably a chance that we do see De Havilland as well, just based on the 20-man squad that he named for the FA Cup game. If you're using those, then they will come back in. Obviously, Garbutt gone. Akagwe potentially out there as well. I think that there's a chance that we need to make some changes, but I think you're right, is that actually we need to stay strong, knowing that we've got 9 days until the Stockport game, which is still going to be on the Thursday. So, yeah, the answer is I don't know, but I don't think that we'll be seeing Bielo. I don't think that we'll be seeing Will Blackmore. We may very well see Ryan De Havilland and Donny O'Brien Brady, but I think that that will be as a sub rather than a starter.
Yeah, Ash, I completely agree. I'm just making one sub if I'm Luke Williams, and it's Keller for Garbutt because he's unavailable. And the team have got a big rest. Now Mansfield have been postponed, haven't they? So this is the perfect time to allow these players to continue to gel and allow this 11 to gel. I treat it like a league game because these players are going to have time to rest and go out and see if we can beat Crawley. Well, it'll probably be 4-3 again, won't it? But try and beat Crawley in a similar manner. And again, continue to show why we're going to be a problem to the league post-international break.
Right then, score predictions time. Ashley, what are you going for?
Do you know what? I've really had to think about this because I'm absolutely itching to go like 6 or 7-0 and just go that we'll go and absolutely dominate them. But I think that the Saturday into the Tuesday is probably going to be quite intense for the players. And this is the first time that we'll have seen it. So I'm going to go with a conservative 3-1. And I'm going to back Otto again. I'm going to back him to be the first goal scorer. There's every chance I may keep doing it until he is the first goal scorer, because we didn't speak at him earlier, but he wasn't as disappointing. And like we said, I'm happy to give all these players a second chance under a new manager. So 3-1, Abraham Odo.
That'll be 46 games of Abraham Odo first goal scorer if you're going to keep doing this then, Ashley, I imagine, till he scores, because I hate to break it to you. I don't think it'll be happening. Although I did say that last time and he went and bagged the hat trick against Crawley. So we know he's good here, don't we? If he might be rubbish everywhere else, but at this particular ground, he is the next Neymar. Anyway, you nicked my score prediction because I was going to say 3-1 as well. Unsurprisingly, I'm not going Voddo first score though. I'm going to go with Declan Frith. I've got a feeling that Frith will play 60 minutes to get his fitness up after a little bit of a cameo off the bench. And I quite like the look of Declan Frith. I'm quite excited to see him under Luke Williams. I've got a feeling that he could be quite good. So I'm going to back him to score first. And yeah, I think it'll be a fit. I think we'll win fairly comfortably.
I tell you what, that 4-3 that we played at their place back in April was a really good game. I really enjoyed it. But that season, there wasn't really a lot to enjoy, was there? So that's probably why. I think there will be a lot of goals again. I can't see us keeping another clean sheet. I'm going to go for 4-2. And I will go for... I'm not confident that he will start, but I'm going to go for Jimmy J. Morgan for the first goal scorer.
Yeah, I think it's going to be 4-3. I think Abraham Odo is going to score a hat-trick. It'll be 3-3. Abraham Odo will then win a penalty in the last minute. And Gustav Lindgren will smash it into the back of the net. And that will be the game, 4-3.
Deja vu there, Max, apart from Lindgren didn't score the last minute, did he? Who did get the last?
Ricky Jones.
Oh, yes, it was Ricky. It was Ricky, yeah. Indeed. That's
if only the goalkeeper had a water bottle that had which way all the penalty takers would go.
Yes, if only. If only, if only. Right, well, I think we're at the end of the episode there. All that's left to say, up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast. Please give us an FC. I'm still itching to win.